Good morning, everyone. It is just wonderful to see you. I'm so grateful that we can regather, and I know it's going to feel a little bit weird, not quite the same, but still, we're moving in a good direction. It's just great to be together, and so I hope you're encouraged. I hope you're refreshed. I hope you just enjoy the time together today as we have this chance to gather in the name of Jesus. Just a reminder, you need to register each week for the service that you will attend. You've got three options, just like you did this morning. And the registration begins on Monday morning. You can start a Monday morning at 10 a.m. and running through Friday afternoon at 3. So you can either do that by calling the office, and Becky will get you registered, or online, go to our website. It's very easy to do it on our website as well. So take advantage of those opportunities. If you want to give financially, we're not having an offering. So Doug did a great job building three offering boxes attached by each of the main entrances to the sanctuary, so you can just drop when you want to give when you come in, or you forgot on the way out when we go through those doors. There's another box over there as well. We would ask that you leave all inside doors open. We're going to have people who will manually control the outside doors, but all inside doors, just leave them open for obvious reasons. Let's leave them open during this time. And if you need to use a bathroom during this time, we're just asking that you use the restrooms, bathrooms in the atrium. There's a large women's room and a men's room as well, so you can use the restrooms there. Atrium, coffee kiosk, closed, not yet, but that will be coming soon, we hope, and so be able to take advantage of that. The ushers, our elders, will be escorting you at the end of the service. Please wait for them. It's going to be just like a wedding. They'll come and do it row by row, beginning in the front and moving their way back. And then using the social distancing, we'll make our way through those doors, cross the atrium, out the main doors, and then stay as long as you want and just enjoy interacting with people during that time outside. Our call to worship today is the beginning of Psalm 103. I thought this is a tremendous way to come together the first time after this 12 weeks where we haven't been together. And in this psalm, the psalmist is recounting the many blessings of the Lord, and he's praising him for what he has done. And so you don't have to speak too loud, but at least whisper it with me as we bless and praise the Lord by reciting this psalm together. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's pray. We bless you, O Lord. We bless you for you've taken us through these difficult times and you are still with us. We thank you, Lord, that you do forgive all our iniquities. Thank you that you do restore us and give us renewed strength and help us to soar like eagles, even though we feel like we're not sure what the next steps look like. I pray that you'll just release our spirits in a proper way to be able to worship you in spirit and truth today. May we be refreshed, encouraged, charged, whatever the spiritual need might be. But by all means, may you receive maximum glory. In Christ's name, amen. No, you're up. Yeah.
Good morning. Who forgot how to sing? Well, we're going to try it differently this year. For a few weeks, we're going to go through the masks. Let's all stand up and sing. We'll start our service with hymn number 45. And all the words are up on our newly fangled screens. You ought to be able to see them a lot nicer, a lot clearer, a lot brighter. Crown him with many crowns. Revelation 19:12 says his eyes are like blazing fire and his head are many crowns. Hymn 45, crown him with many crowns.
Awake my soul and sing.
Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We'll sing Sweet, Sweet Spirit 391, and we're going to go right straight into 392, Holy Spirit, Light Divine.
Well, we have opportunity now to have a time of prayer, and many of you responded favorably to all the mini services we were getting out there, that it really helped you to have a guided prayer time where I would make suggestions and then give you some time to pray about that. So I'd like to do that format even this morning. We begin with our mission spotlight, which is Hope at the Brick House. Joyce Klopp is the director of that. Now, Iowa is different than Illinois. They've opened up already, and so they have 40 students that are in their summer program right now, and so they're very excited about that. But there are a number of challenges about that, because a lot of the programs they had planned have been canceled, so they've got to think creatively. What are we going to do with these 40 kids in terms of new ideas and stuff that they can do them through the summertime? And so we want to pray that the gospel will be clearly presented in those activities, that they will be safe, that families will feel cared and loved for, and they can just be a daily support for those kids and families. So let's begin by praying. Take a moment and just quietly pray for Hope at the Brick House. Now, this might be a hard request, but let's pray that we can continue to wait patiently. And let's also ask the Lord to give us a greater understanding of truth. Let's ask the Lord to give us joy even when we're experiencing sorrow. And let's ask the Lord for commitment to justice in our nation's part with all of the struggles that are there. I was thinking of the verse in Micah 6:8, He has shown thee, O man, O woman, what is good and what the Lord does require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray that will be true. And let's thank God for the joy that's coming one day when the Lord returns. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. We're so grateful to you, and we pray that we can walk humbly with you, and we can each one have an influence in these times when people aren't sure how to take it, that we will have that sense of peace and joy and love because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, the Spirit of God doing His work. In the mighty name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
It is so good to be seeing people in the sanctuary. I want to first of all thank everyone who's made the children's ministry keep working. As week by week we deliver packets and deliver things, food, and get videos out. Multitude of people have helped the children's ministry. Because these are Jesus' words that we're going to be reading, let's all stand out of respect for him as we read the reading for the day. Jesus says, in a little while, you won't see me anymore. But in a little while after that, you'll see me again. Some of the disciples ask each other, what does he mean when he says, in a little while you'll see me, but then in a little while you won't. But then you'll see me. And I'm going to the Father. What does that mean, in a little while? We don't understand. Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it, so he said, are you asking yourselves what I meant? When I said a little while, you won't see me, but in a little while after that, you'll see me again. I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. It will be like a woman suffering from pains of labor. When the baby is born, her anguish goes away to joy because she has brought a new baby into the world. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. From John 16:16-22, you may be seated. I get it. I so totally get it. I think this just like whipped over the disciples' heads. I mean, I think they're looking at each other and going, Peter, you know what that means? I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know what he means? What he means? I totally get it. I don't think I would have gotten it as much in February as I get it now. When I think, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what Governor Pritzker's going to do next week. I don't know what he's going to do in a month. I don't know when I'm going to get my kids back. I think they totally got it. And then they looked at Jesus' eyes. Don't you love Jesus' eyes? I always think about Jesus' eyes. Big and brown and full of love. And saying, it's like he was looking at each one of them and saying, trust me, trust me, trust me. I know you don't get this. Trust me. You got to walk in faith. You got to walk in faith. Shut your eyes now for a minute. That's very dangerous to say, I know. Shut your eyes for a second. And I want you to see Jesus' eyes full of love, full of caring, saying, whatever you don't understand, the chaos that's going on, whatever you don't get, I love you and I trust you and trust me, and I want you to walk by faith. So now open your eyes. And so you didn't fall asleep. I know what I'm going to do is right out of your comfort zone. But I'm going to let the little, Barbara Nelson, you're really lucky I'm not calling you up on stage. And I want everyone to stand up. They say that if you put motions to song, so you really remember the words. So look at the back row stood up. Everybody up, everybody up, everybody up. We're going to sing one of our kids' favorite songs, but it is so appropriate for today. And God gave it to me, so you better sing it. Yeah, ready? So don't let me make a fool by myself. Do the motions. Hands ready, go.
And guess what? Donnie got all that recorded on video, so you're going viral with your movements there, okay? The passage that was just read for us, that's before us today, surfaces some of the struggles that the disciples had. Now, Jesus is giving this pep talk to prepare them for he's leaving and bracing them for this. And this passage surfaces, here were some of the struggles they really were wrestling with. You know what? We're wrestling with the exact same things. And so you look at John chapter 16 and verse 16. The first struggle that surfaces to the top is waiting patiently. Anybody having a struggle with that at this time? Now in verses 16 to 18, there's a contrast here between Jesus being absent so they can't see him, and then being able to see him again. And so in that context, this struggle of waiting patiently. So Jesus says, a little while, and you'll no longer see me. That's a verb that means a careful observation, like a spectator that's engrossed in a sport, very carefully watching it. You'll no longer see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. A different verb that implies seeing, but seeing with the mind. being able to perceive what's going on, and then you will see me, the Lord says. Now, to be honest with you, good Bible scholars interpret that statement three different ways. Now, Barb talked about being confused about things. Well, we're still confused about figuring out some of what he said. Some scholars say, he's talking about when he dies, you won't see me. And then shortly after his resurrection, then you'll see me. That doesn't fit the context as well as the other two suggestions do. The second suggestion is, I'm going back to the Father. I'm going to ascend back to the Father. You're not going to see me. But then this Holy Spirit I'm telling you about, the Helper, he's going to come, I'm going to pour him out, and then you'll see me. And the third way of understanding, I think the last two can go together, I'm going back to the Father, I'm ascending back to the Father, you're not going to see me, and it's going to be a long time. And eventually I'm coming back in my second coming, and then there will be this face-to-face experience at that point. And so he's raising this whole issue of being able to wait patiently until they see him again. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, talking about this issue of waiting for a little while concerning the second coming of Christ, says, "For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." For that little while seems like a long time, doesn't it? Come on, Lord. Come back, Lord. We're tired of waiting. And we live in a culture that is so impulsive. We are so, I want it right now. I don't want to wait another moment. And I think that's been exasperated by the virus. How many of you gotten impatient waiting in a line where you normally wouldn't have to wait in line, and now you got to wait in a line, or something you've ordered and it's not there? And you have to wait impatiently. So it's been even more compounded, this struggle of waiting patiently. But yet as God's people, we need this reminder that we need to wait patiently. And I think it's worth the wait, though we're struggling with this idea of waiting. I think it's worth the wait because the end result is we are going to see him. And it's worth waiting for that. I've even heard a couple of people lately, Christians, saying, I don't pray for patience. Probably for the same reason you don't want to pray for patience, because you know God's going to put you in a situation that's going to make you have to learn patience. I understand that struggle. And I think Jesus understood that's the struggle that his people through the ages, I don't want to wait anymore. And the Lord is saying, wait patiently. It's going to be worth it. We're going to see him again. And that's what it's all about. That's what makes it so wonderful. Now, the second struggle that surfaces here is the struggle of being confused. I don't understand. I'm confused. Now, you get the impression from verse 17 that they're walking towards the Garden of Gethsemane. And at this point, when the disciples hear this thing about a little while you won't see me, a little while you'll see me, they start to huddle up as they're walking. And as they're huddling and walking, some of the disciples said to one another, what is this thing he's telling us? A little while and you'll not see me, and again a little while and you'll see me, and because I go to the Father? Now remember, in their thinking, the kingdom is coming right now. He's going to establish the kingdom and we're going to see him. We're going to be with him. We're going to rule with him. We're not going to see him. Then we're going to see him. He's going to the Father? What's that all about? And they're confused, and maybe there's a little bit of fear about asking about this because maybe we should understand this, but we don't. And so they're talking to one another, saying, what is this he's saying? A little while, we don't know what he's talking about. That's where we're at a lot too, isn't it? I'm even looking at these passages in John's Gospel that are so familiar, and quite frankly, there's times I don't know if I fully understand what the Lord's trying to say there. And I go through passages of the Bible, and I grasp it, but not like I should grasp it, and there's so much more there to understand. So we struggle with this issue of struggling. What I think is important, yes, we struggle with it, but I think it's very significant is that we know the Lord wants us to understand. He's about to be betrayed. And yet he has taken this time to give all of this instruction to his disciples so they're ready for what's coming. He wants them, he wants us to understand his truth. And that's why he's given the Holy Spirit to those who believe in him. In verse 13 of the previous passage, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And so the Lord wants you to understand truth more than you want to understand it. And he doesn't want you staying in a confused state, just like he didn't want them in a confused state. And he's giving us the resources for us to be able to grasp and understand truth. But there is that struggle, isn't there? What I don't know, what I don't understand. That leads into the third struggle, and that's the struggle of sorrow. There are times when we go through life experiences and we think, what's wrong with me? Why do I have this grief? Why do I have this sorrow? I should be just filled with happiness and excitement, and yet why so much sorrow? And so there's another contrast in verses 19 to 22 between sorrow and joy, which the Lord is explaining. Now, remember, what they're thinking about is, we don't understand. And he knows they're deliberating about that. In verse 19, we recognize that Jesus knows that. But he doesn't deal with the issue of timing in his answer. He doesn't deal with the issue of what I mean by a little while. Instead, he talks about an incredible transformation that's going to take place within his followers, where sorrow but joy. There's a lot of times when we want to know more about timing. Lord, give me more details of when you're going to come back. Help me understand a little bit more about the for a little while. And he doesn't give us more details. Instead, he wants to talk about something else. I want to talk about the transformation that will take place in your spirit and in your emotions as one of my followers. So he does that in verse 20 with one of those truly, truly statements which John is famous for in the gospel. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament. That's not what we want to hear. Weep was a word that meant to cry out loud, to weep out audibly, out loud. Lament was words of a funeral dirge where you're expressing with your words the grief that you're feeling. And he's bracing his followers. And the reason for this sorrow is because they are followers of him and they're trying to be faithful followers. So he's saying, this will be your experience. Since you are going to be faithful followers, you will weep and you will lament. What will the world do, the unbelieving people of the world? They'll rejoice. Boy, that gets to us, doesn't it? When we start looking at other people and we decry the unfairness of it. Here, I'm struggling with sorrow. I'm struggling with grief. It's tough to walk the Christian life and remain faithful to the Lord. And then I look at my non-believing friends, the non-Christian friends, and they seem to be filled with joy. It's a superficial joy, but they sure seem to be filled. And so then inside of you is that sense that this isn't fair. I didn't sign up for this. And then he goes on to add on top of that, you will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Now, if we're looking at through the experience of walking with the Lord before he comes again, that's true. The Bible makes this kind of emphasis where people who are followers of Jesus, the sorrow wasn't taken away. The grief wasn't taken away. Because they were being faithful to the Lord, there was sorrow. But what happened is the Spirit of God accompanied it with so much joy that was greater than the sorrow. Case in point would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, where this is a young church of followers of Christ. And Paul describes, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So what they experience now in this time, sorrow because you're following Christ, but joy with it. And so they experience that. And of course, the emphasis on when he does come again, the sorrow is gone. And it's just pure joy at that point. So he uses this analogy of a woman giving birth. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. I had the privilege of being present with the birth of all four of my children and watching my wife go through the agony of you know, leading up to that point and all of the pain that went with it. But after each of those children were born, The agony was forgotten, the pain was gone, and there was this pure joy, a son, a daughter. And that's exactly what happened. And you can see how this really is fulfilled with the return of Jesus Christ, when we're with him. At that point, the sorrow is forgotten. It's completely gone. And it's completely replaced with pure joy. Therefore, you have grief now. And so, preparing the disciples, you're not being weird to experience grief. There's not something wrong with you. It's part of walking faithfully with God. We're along with the confusion and along with the patience and struggling with waiting is also this sense of struggling with sorrow as well. You'll have that now. But I will see you again. Now in verse 16 and 17, you will see me again. Now the Lord adds the flip side, I will see you again. And then you will rejoice, your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. So for this time period, down through the generations, what does he have for his followers? You will have sorrow. You will have grief. And it's grief that comes with being faithful to the Lord. And there is that sense of unfairness. Boy, look at the world rejoicing and look at what we're experiencing. But what God does through the Holy Spirit is with that sorrow that he doesn't take away, but he accompanies it with a greater joy that carries you through those times. And we're thinking, as we keep our eyes on the future, we realize there's that time when we are going to see. We are going to see with all of the perception that goes with it. We will see him. He will see us. And at that point, grief will be forgotten. It will just be pure joy from that point onward. That will be our experience as followers of Christ. So we struggle with this issue of sorrow. But notice, for the Christian, sorrow also has joy. And sorrow one day will be forgotten and replaced with pure joy. Wow. These are the struggles that we have. But this is how the Lord carries us through these things.
I know we've said this multiple times, but man, it is just so good to see you guys. And during this time, we're going to take a look at this question together. And whenever I dig into God's word, the question that comes to my mind, and that's this: so what? So what do I actually do with what I've just heard? And this question actually stems from James 1:22, which says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." So this is the challenge that James gives us. We need to take what we've heard and we need to live it out. So we're going to explore just one way that we can do this together with each other. So Jesus was calling his disciples to wait and be patient, because they're going to see him again one day, but that day is coming in the future. And this call to wait and to be patient applies to us as well as we wait for the second coming. And it also applies in other areas of our lives. I remember a number of years ago, I woke up one morning, and I remember I prayed a simple prayer. I was like, God, help me become a patient person. I want to be patient. And without thinking about it, another thought, I jumped up, I hopped into my car, I was late driving to my next destination, and on my way there, I hit a red light every single time. And after the third or fourth red light, it finally dawned on me. It's like, oh my, I prayed for patience today. And I remember in that moment, I did not thank God. My thought was, that's the last time I ever pray that prayer again. And the reason I tell you that story is because if you're anything like me, if you're human, you struggle with waiting and being patient. It is something that is tough for all of us, but this is what Jesus calls us to do. He calls us to wait and to be patient. And since this is something we all struggle with, how do we actually do it? How do we become patient people? And the first thing, as I was reflecting on this, that I realized is, man, we have to pray for patience. As Mark talked about earlier, I've heard it said that patience is a virtue you should never pray for. And I want to challenge that thought. You and I should pray for patience. The reason you and I should pray for patience is because this is the kind of people that Jesus calls us to be. This is a fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. And the thing about this fruit of the Spirit is, in order for it to be, in order for this virtue patience to be developed in our lives, there's no pretty way. It only grows when a desire is delayed, like me at the traffic light. So I want to encourage you to pray for patience. Not only that, I think there's a reason we should pray for it. Is when we become patient people in one area, it leaks into other areas of our lives, and it positively impacts all other areas of life. Because here's the thing about patient people. Patient people don't blow up in anger on their loved ones. Patient people don't make poor financial decisions because they're willing to delay their desires. Patient people don't cuss out the traffic light when they're waiting at it. Patient people, they enjoy each moment of life with God and with others instead of rushing into the next moment like I find myself so oftentimes doing. So pray for patience. Not only pray for patience, but we also need to change the way that we think. And this comes from Romans 12:2, which says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world." See, this world is an incredibly impatient place. If you're not going right when a light turns green, someone's blaring the horn right behind you. So don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but instead, Paul tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may be able to test and discern what is the will of God, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So transformation happens by changing the way that we think. We have to see life, the world, and our circumstances through God's lenses rather than our own. And there's so many ways that this can happen in your life, but I want to share with you my favorite way. My favorite way comes from 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which Paul tells us, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Notice what Paul said. Paul said all circumstances, even the ones that make us mad, even the ones that irritate us, even those moments that try our patience. And I remember thinking, man, how do I do this? How do I actually thank God for each moment? Because there's moments where I'm wondering. And the reason I discovered is the reason you and I can be thankful in these moments is because in those moments we can become like Jesus. God's will for our lives, according to Romans 8:29, is to become like Christ. And God uses those irritating, frustrating, everyday moments of life to help us to become more like Jesus. And I want to give you one practical example to take home that you can use right away. And I think one of the best ways that you can grow this in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to grow this in your life is by using the traffic lights. Because I don't know about you, but man, I don't like traffic lights. I don't like waiting at reds. And I started noticing that I would get so angry when I was waiting at red lights. So what I started doing is I started playing the thankfulness game. Whenever I would see a red light, I would immediately go to being thankful. And I would start praying to God. And I would simply say, "God, thank you for this red light. Thank you for this opportunity to grow my character, because I want to be a patient person. And I know if I can learn how to grow this right here through the power of your Spirit, that this is going to impact the way that I treat people when I talk to them. This is going to impact the moments that I am when there's seasons of life where I want things to change and I can enjoy this rather than trying to just get through it." So I take those moments to just be still at the red light and thank God for all the ways that patience can help me if I'm willing to walk with God in that moment. So my challenge for you, when you go home and you hit your red light, is to play the thankfulness game. Because God wants us to be patient people, and I think we need to pray for it. The Holy Spirit develops it in our lives, but God wants us to play a part by changing the way we think. And I think part of the way in doing that is by taking those moments where we normally would be incredibly irritated and see them as opportunities for God to help us become the people that he created us to be. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for this time that we have together with each other. We thank you that we get to be together again after a long awaited time of waiting. And we thank you for the joy that I know that I have in my heart and everyone else's as well. And God, we pray that you would just continue to bless this time as we're with each other. In your name we pray. Amen.
The King is coming. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing that very song, very hymn 763, The King is Coming. The Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones.
I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming.
Once again, guys, it's been so good to be able to hang out and celebrate getting back together for church again today. We want to remind you that our ushers are going to dismiss you row by row. You're going to go through these doors right over here. You're going to head outside and have fun just hanging out as long as you wish, catching up together with each other. I know I'm going to want to hang out. I look forward to connecting with you as well. But let's pray one more time and just thank God for the gift of being together. So God, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time we've been able to gather together and celebrate and to worship you as your people. And God, we pray that as we leave today, that you'd help us to become the patient people you've created us to be. In your name we pray. Amen.
Is empty, no more traffic in the street. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the King comes through the gate. Oh, the King is coming. Oh, the King.